Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Good evening, everybody. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Craig. Nice to see all of you. And as usual, thanks for the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope with respect to A's 12 traditions. And I'm sure I'll touch on some steps and concepts along the way. We might trip over a few of those as we go. Just wondering if there's any questions already, Brooke. Is there any questions in the chat already or anything?
Not
left?
Yet.
Okay. And please feel free as we go to just ask questions, whether it's from the previous weeks or this one, because I'd really like to be able to share experience based on what the folks attending the workshop are, you know, trying to gain from it. But with that being said, I'll also do what you asked me to, which is to share the experience. Again, my plug is always the long form of the 12 traditions. I think they're more explicit. I think they're more clear. Although with this one particular tradition, it's interesting. It's actually shorter than the short form. When you look at the short form of tradition two, it says, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And then the long form, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Could be a misprint. Could be a conspiracy. Whatever it is, there's less words in the long form on this particular tradition than there is on the other ones. But I think as you've already seen in tradition one, and you'll see with the rest of the traditions, the long form is a little bit more explicit and in depth. With that being said, I just want to kind of pick apart what it says. And the first thing it says is for our group purpose. I've shared with you guys that I've facilitated many group inventories in my experience in AA, my service career, whatever you call it. And one of the questions I start, whether it's a small little website committee inventory, whether it's a larger intergroup committee, whether it's a home group, a young person's, an area, whatever it is, I always start with the question, very simple, and you'll find it in the group pamphlet as well, but what is the group's purpose? And everybody wants to automatically raise their hand and say, well, our purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who suffers. But the interesting thing is, especially if you facilitate a group inventory similar to the way I do it, where you have people write some stuff down anonymously at first, you hear a lot of people go in many different directions. So it's a question that really helps us, and I'm going to wrap this up into the tradition too here in a second, but what is the group purpose when you put that out to the group, when the group is not united, when the group is not clear, when the group has not concisely decided together what its purpose is? Yes, I know what our primary purpose is with respect to the fifth tradition, but what is the group's basic purpose? And we all have different ideas right there in itself. You could be the greatest group in the world because you better believe I've gone to some group inventories and everybody's like, oh, we're fine. We don't really need it. You're pulling in all different directions. Because everybody thinks the group's purpose is something other than what it is because we haven't simply taken the time to communicate. I don't know if anybody relates to this, but when I did my four step, especially my first one, it was a lot about things I did wrong to people. And most of those things were very extreme, from the small end of dishonesty to the large end of violence or stealing or whatever the case is. And so I have this idea that I always am wrong. I'm always wrong. And, you know, in the sense of harming somebody, we can create harm within the group structure and it doesn't have to be malicious. Self-centeredness is not necessarily a good or bad thing. It's a sickness. And if we don't have the discussion, if we're not clear of the direction we're going in, inadvertently, unintentionally, unequivocally, not even on purpose, we could be going in all different directions. One of the biggest blocks to the benefit of the informed group conscience. Now, don't forget, we're not just having a discussion, but like I mentioned all the time, service and recovery are not separate. And a lot of us grew up in alcoholic homes. And what do I always say to someone who says, well, I didn't have any other alcoholics in my house? Well, you were the alcoholic. So it was still an alcoholic home. But we grew up in a situation where it was dishonesty, lack of communication. It was tough for everybody to kind of know, you know, what page we're on. And so it's a tough practice for us alcoholics. And I'll just speak for me or for most of the alcoholics I've interacted with. It's a tough practice. But one of the things that blocks us from having that opportunity to be unified, because remember, each and every week when we talk about each one of these traditions, the goal is unity. Misinformation is a huge one. Huge one. I'm not going to call it out, but right now there's an email going out around everybody talking about one particular item that is potentially going to be at the General Service Conference. And the email couldn't be more wrong. The email has nothing to do with what is actually happening, what is being said, what is written. So we can severely harm the larger idea of unity in AA or the larger idea of our informed group conscience when we put stuff out there. On the micro level, with respects to service and recovery being equal, my responsibility is to be open and honest. One way I can adhere to tradition two before we even get into the weeds with it is to say I don't know when I don't know. More importantly, because the informed group conscience isn't a Jeopardy trivia quiz, it's not about everybody knowing stuff. All I need to do in an informed group conscience is share my experience. So if I have experience, I share it. If I don't have experience, I say I don't have experience. And if I'm unsure if I have experience or not, then I can convey that to the group also. Hey, I'm not sure if this is what we're looking for in this discussion, but here's what I'm hearing and here's what I've done. But misinformation is a huge detriment to the informed group conscience, in my experience. Not having direction. And again, direction comes in that common welfare of tradition one. Direction comes in also concept 10, having bylaws and guidelines. But how do you get those bylaws and guidelines? By having discussions before you get to that. So again, all of these are about us having open, honest communication. Confusion is a detriment to the informed group conscience. I can't tell you how many times I've been at all levels of service, including the General Service Conference, and somebody will ask a question and they won't answer it. It just baffles me. I was at it. I'll never forget this one. This is the one that sticks out of my mind. I was visiting a district as a delegate, and a GSR raised their hand and said, hey, our home group is having a big issue with singleness of purpose, and we're not sure what other groups are doing, and we're not sure how to handle it. What is the district's feeling on singleness of purpose? And I guess they maybe didn't know how to address that or what to do. So they just said, thank you for your question, and moved on. And I raised my hand. I said, hey, look, I know I'm visiting as a delegate and this is your district, but I don't understand why we would thank someone for their question and not answer it. And it's something I see all the time. And again, I don't know is a good answer too. Wow, great question. I'm not sure. Let's gather some more information. I mean, hopefully we have the answer to that particular question, but I don't know is still an acknowledgement. It still creates unity. I bet you if you talk to most people of why they don't come back to the district or even the intergroup, I know intergroup's outside the general service structure, but it's still where we need participants and we still use traditions. People aren't coming back to these things because they either find them boring, they're being lectured at, or they're not acknowledged. And I think that's a fair statement, especially in 2024, when you're asking most people to give up their son's soccer game or maybe not be able to see their husband or wife because they've been busy, you know, every single day. You would at least expect they come to a district meeting and at least be acknowledged when they ask a question. Personality is another thing that deflects us from the informed group conscience. I love the simple example. If we have a group conscience, I just use the simple one, and let's say we have a large group and, you know, it's an open group and it's a big book reading followed by an open discussion, whatever. And let's say the group conscience is the person who shares isn't allowed to share for any more than 3 minutes. This is the perfect example of the difference between a personality, in my opinion, and the principal. It doesn't matter if I'm the chairperson and, you know, if it doesn't matter whether or not I like D. When 3 minutes is up, she's going to have to understand that 3 minutes is up. And it's the group conscience to pass the mic. It's not a double speaker meeting. It's a 3 minute, you know? So that's just the group conscience, the informed group conscience guides that way. I'm going to get into some some of the literature here in a minute too, but I just wanted to start at the opening monologue too with one other thing that I think is so important. What do we really mean by the informed group conscience? And there's so many layers of that. There's a responsibility, a general responsibility at the local AA group level, such as would we like to have concept shades on the wall? Would we like to contribute to the entities as well as the inner group every quarter? Would we like to do it every month? You know, how often do we want to do a group inventory? Do we want to have a group anniversary? Should our meeting be a speaker? Do we want to change the way our meeting facilitates itself each week? And on the fifth Thursday, we'll do a special meeting. All of those things should be discussed and hashed out and experience shared to create an informed group conscience. But on the larger level, the informed group conscience is being connected to AA as a whole, having a general service representative, bringing information to that group to help them inform them of what neighboring groups are doing, what districts are doing, what's happening in the area, what's happening AA as a whole. What are we doing with respect to online groups in the United States and Canada structure? What's going on with our literature? Where's the money in the basket go? How can we participate in the correctional committee? If we feel like there's really no time, what service opportunities are there for us? I can't tell you how many times I've been to an AA group and I've just been asked to share a little, and they had no idea that this pamphlet came out, and they could have submitted their stories. They had great stories to share. They fit exactly the qualifications of what the updated pamphlets were, but there was nobody to come back and tell them that we were looking for people's stories on those particular pamphlets. Our class A trustees, it goes through a process through the nominating committee, through the general service board, this, that, and the third, but they can also be cultivated from your group, your local level, from an informed AWS or a general service board letter that goes to the delegate, to the DCM, to the group. And then you guys find out, or we find out at the groups, that they're looking for a non-alcoholic trustee. They're looking somebody with these qualifications, an appointed committee member. When they're looking for, specific skills with respects to business orientation and something to do with public information, that comes from the group level. Guess what happens when each new group doesn't understand that this is an option? Guess what happens when 3/4 of the groups in the country don't understand that this information doesn't just come from cool people that come share on Monday night? This information is open to everybody. Then all of a sudden you have these little pockets where it's the same people, the same sponsorship family, the same people that know the same people. And there's no, it's not really eclectic. We don't get a fair cross-section of AA because it's just a small, certain amount of people that have information. All of this information should be open to all of you. Page 98 of AA Comes of Age says exactly what we read in the short form. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Basic words. If we really quick have a 4-minute business meeting, we don't really hear what everybody has to say. We just move along, get things done, check off a list, and end it. Just logically, how can we possibly, if we believe in this tradition, how can we possibly hear, never mind a loving God, how can we hear any God express themselves in the group conscience? There really wasn't enough time. We didn't really get to hear what was being said, what people thought, what their experiences were. I love the line, our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. I'd love to know where this line came from in AA, but a lot of people, I've heard it over the years, and I'm sure other people in here have heard it too. We don't have any leaders in AA, and I just have no idea what that means. I don't know if somebody just kind of thought like they had good intentions and they were just kind of saying like we're all equal, and if that's what they meant, I really appreciate that. I just would have used some different words because we do have leaders. But here's the greatest thing about AA. We don't have self-appointed leaders. I mean, we do, but we shouldn't have self-appointed leaders. But we have elected leaders. And we have rotating leaders. That's the kind of leaders we have, which is really interesting, which is also why we need guidelines and bylaws and rotation. But we have elected leaders, which means you elected them. That's another thing I love, right? Experiencing people outside the district meeting complaining about the current leadership. Well, you elected them. So maybe you shouldn't have an election where they go to the bathroom and they come back surprised and all of a sudden they're in a leadership role. I think it's really important to take time. The same way we take time, again, service and recovery are not separate. The same way we take time to go through those first 43 pages of the book to find out, are we alcoholic? What is our problem? We should take the time to know the history of AA and what is our problem? What is going to get in the way of a long existence for us? And the same way we take the time to go through that process of taking the third step and writing the fourth step and making a list and going out making amends and meditating and carrying the message, we should take that time going through the traditions and helping that home group be exactly what the title of the pamphlet is, the A group, where it all begins. When a prospective member of Alcoholics Anonymous, a professional, or a current member of AA walks into my home group, do I feel it's a good representation of what AA's principles are? I say very specifically of what AA's principles are because I could say the words, is it a fair representation of what AA is? And it might be, because AA might be, quote unquote, that representation right now. But is it a fair representation of what AA's principles are? And if we don't know what AA's traditions are, if we don't share what AA's traditions are, if we don't try to learn what AA's traditions are, and the same with the concepts, how could we possibly be a fair representation of those principles? But again, the leaders are trusted servants, elected trusted servants. They do not govern. There's principles that hold the check and balances and accountability. The other cool thing is if somebody gets a little too full of themselves, besides hopefully a group that is willing to have an honest conversation in the business meeting, there's also rotation. And that's why it's so important. I'm gonna put a little conference charter in here, even though it's a tradition workshop. If you go into your updated manual, which might be, I don't know, Carrie can throw it in the chat. I forget, Carrie with a K, because I had her do an assignment a while ago. I think it's page 121 in the new manual, maybe 119. I don't remember. I'm getting old. But in the conference charter, bullet point 8, it tells us specifically that our general service representatives, our DCMs, and our delegates should be serving at the same time concurrently. And that's so important with respects to the informed group conscience, because if we have a bunch of people coming in at different times of the year, or if we've been talking about a topic for 6 months and then everybody rotates out, and the new year hasn't happened yet, now we have to re-explain everything and have a whole nother discussion all over again. How can we possibly be having an informed group conscience? And when we don't take the time to explain the information that's taking place at these particular committee meetings or general service conference or area or whatever, and that information doesn't get down to the communication triangle, we're doing a disservice to the informed group conscience. Here's a very simple one. If you don't have a treasurer's report, if you don't have accurate accounting of the money, how can you possibly have an informed group conscience? I got asked a question recently. I think it was actually this morning. Was it this morning? It was either this morning or yesterday. Hey, Craig, could you help me explain to my home group why a secretary needs to take minutes? And that's a great question. My sponsor used to say all the time, the greatest questions in AA are never asked. And what he meant by that was a question just like that, but he also meant the question to ask God for help. Greatest questions in AA are never asked. So my response, I'll give you the short version. My response was, well, you got some basic understanding of integrity, the integrity of what took place at that meeting. You have the idea of accountability. So you can hold accountable the people that you've elected for different positions. Depending how large your group is, it could be a legal thing or it could be part of your, you know, in order for you to open a banking account, you have to have minutes these days. Like ever since 9/11, banks are a lot more, whatever the word you want to use before you can open up a bank account. And, you know, so there's those practical things. But really, with respect to the principles of AA, it helps hold true the primary purpose of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it helps hold true the seven tradition and how we're either declining outside contributions or we're accepting voluntary contributions from our members. So minutes are very important. It's also important practically so we don't make the same mistakes over and over again, which guess what is all part of the informed group conscience. I love my home group. We have a long list of a PDF, so you can control F very easily and find whatever topic you just went through. So we know what we've done the whole time we've existed. So if something is resurfacing, if we've already made a decision about something, we're able to pull it up and talk about it. Not that you can't ever change your mind or make a new decision or anything, but it's just good to know where we've been, what we've decided, and what we're doing. So many times, even in 2024, I watch groups, especially when I worked at the office, and I used to get calls from the groups all the time, same mistakes over and over again, wasting their time, wasting their seven tradition dollars over and over and over again, because there's not an informed group conscience. And I don't mean not an informed group conscience in a punitive way, like you're not smart. I mean it more in a way of like, the humility is lacking in the sense of connecting. What is other people's experiences? What has other groups done? And a lot of that stuff is written in our literature. I have a question in my book on the top of page 99 with respect to the second tradition. And you've probably asked yourself this question when you go through the big book. But am I of arrogance or harmony? I'm going to share a secret with you if you guys do the yes or no inventory. I'm definitely not a fan of yes or no inventory. Even though the questions are set up to be yes or no, inventory should never be yes or no, in my experience. It should take some time to reflect. You know, like when you look at the questions on page 86 of the 11th step, you know, was I resentful? To me, that's not really a question of yes, I was. Let me move on to the next question. Was I resentful means I explore how I was resentful. I know that I am going to be controlling every day of my life. I also know that I have a sincere desire to be helpful. I know that I'm going to be arrogant every day of my life, but I also have the sincere desire to be harmonious. So I'm asking God for the power to be harmonious. I'm asking God for the power and strength to be helpful. So I'm probably going to be a little less controlling than I am helpful, or a little more harmonious than I am arrogant. But how do I do that with respect to the group conscience? Is I have to use my, you know, right to speak up, my right to participate in the group, to have discussions, share my experience, strength, and hope, listen to what experience, strength, you hope you have, and stand up for the principles of AA. It says on 99, few obstacles have been tougher to remove than those which block the way to realization that AA's group conscience can be the only ultimate authority in our affairs. Now, a lot of groups will have a discussion. Let's say it's with respect to how much money we're going to contribute or what percentage we're going to contribute to the local entity each quarter. Let's say that's a discussion. Having a quick conversation and then taking a quick vote and then it be a 10-9 vote is not really what A's principles speak to in my experience. First of all, anytime we have a 10-9 vote, I think we have a problem. And I think if you take a look at the warranties in the 12 concepts, specifically in concept 12, where it talks about it's important for us to have 2/3 majority before we make decisions in AA. The reason that's important, besides just taking out a whip and saying, hey, this is how you're supposed to do it, is because it says it here at the bottom of page 99. Some of the most important words in all of AA traditions in my experience. And here it is. Harder still to accept was the now proven fact that the conscience of the group, when properly informed of the facts and issues and principles involved, was often wiser than any leader, self-appointed or not. How do we get properly informed of the facts, the issues, and the principles involved? That's how we have the informed group conscience. Each decision we're making throughout the business meeting should be grounded in any one of our steps, traditions, or concepts. But we can't do that if we don't know what they are. So we have to ask ourselves as a group, honestly, first, do we know what these principles are? And if we don't, then we need to ask for help, whether that's at the district, whether that's a group inventory, whether that's neighboring groups, whether that's a delegate, service sponsorship, whatever it is. Let's learn those. But also, let's take the time to allow everyone to speak to the topic. I love conversations, even when people disagree with me. Now, if you were in my business meeting with me, you would probably think I'm borderline cocky or at the very least very, very confident and demanding. And the truth is, I'm a strong believer in what I speak. I'm a strong believer in my experience. So you're going to hear that conviction when I share. But I promise you, when you're sharing, I'm listening. And I'm letting your steel grind my steel. So you're either strengthening my belief even stronger than it already is, or you're wearing it down. And I'm like, wow, maybe what I think isn't so right here. But that's why it's so important to go through everybody's voice. There's a lot of things to break down here. If somebody has 2 days sober, they still have the right to participate in the group. They still have a right if we're going to go around the room and ask somebody what they have to share, what they have to share. But I'm also going to be conscious that someone with 2 days sober who's never been to AA before may not know about a particular topic that just came down from the district. And that's okay. But if the topic is something to do with how do we feel welcome at the group or what do we think the setup of the group would be, then I need to listen to them. There's nobody, like a lot of the times people like me, people that quote unquote know a lot about the history and the principles and the concepts and this and that can give some decent presentations and have some, maybe some good answers to some questions. But I really love that newer person that gets up in front of the area and says, "Hey guys, I don't know if we're doing this right or not. I'm recently learning this. And based on what I'm learning, I'm thinking we should kind of go in this direction." I love hearing that. And I love seeing how people respond to that. So, please don't confuse, or maybe I'm doing a poor job if you are confused, that we're just supposed to come out of the AA womb and know everything. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is let's grow towards the ideal of understanding these principles. But while we don't know them, let's have enough humility to say, I don't know. Let's have enough humility to say, please help me understand. And let's get rid of that idea of I can't and talk about how can I. There's a lot of I can'ts, right? I can't, I can't, I can't. Well, how can I? No matter how hard the question is. Oh, you need to elect the GSR at the group. Oh, we can't. Nobody wants to be involved. Not we can't. How can we? How do you guys elect the GSR? How do you guys get people involved? Oh, well, we're not putting enough money in the basket. We can't collect any money. Forget about we can't. How can we? My experience is all these traditions we're talking about over these however many weeks and tonight, when we put those principles into play, that's what creates the unity. That's what creates the inspiration. That's what creates the people wanting to get involved. I've lived it for over 25 years. I've gone into never mind dark souls and dark little spots. I've gone into dark areas, dark regions. Anyways, I'm gonna leave it at that. Continuing at the bottom of page 99, we slowly realize that the old timer frequently was faulty in judgment. Because of his position of assumed authority, he was often influenced by personal prejudice and interests. With all his experience and good works, there was still nothing infallible about him at all. Does this mean as old timers, our usefulness is over? No. Once we old timers have surrendered to the group conscience, we are pleasantly surprised to find that the groups, when in deep difficulty, will again turn to us for the kind of guidance that only our longer experience can give. I used to watch when I was early in AA and yeah, I was critical, very critical. But I watch a lot of people like praise the old timer for sitting in the back of the room. Oh, they're so humble. They're so quiet. They just sit in the back of the room. And I'm thinking to myself, I won't use the actual words that was going on in my head, but I'm thinking to myself, what are they doing? They're just sitting there like a lump on a log. That's not humble. One of the most frustrating events I've ever went to in my entire life, and you got me talking now, even though I'm recording here, but one of the most frustrating events I ever went to was the International Convention, and when it was time to bring up the old timers, all the old timers came up. Now, let me just make something clear. I love everybody in AA, even those that don't like me, and I love the old timers in AA, but I was so disappointed when each one of those old timers got up there for 5 minutes and all they did was tell jokes. I'm like, you guys have 55 years in this program. I want to know what to watch out for. I want to know what you see happen with anonymity. I want to know what you saw help groups stay alive, what things got in the way of sobriety. I want to know those stories. I don't want to hear jokes. I got enough of those in my head. So sitting quietly with your legs crossed is not humble to me. Sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and then backing up and allowing the group to take shape, to me, is humble. And this is just my experience. Again, you don't have to cash this check. But I don't want, if I make it to be old, if I make it to be an old timer, and whether it's at a three-person group in Maine or it's at the international convention, I get to a microphone, I want to share my experience. But see, that's what happens in AA sometimes. If you speak with conviction, you're all also kind of claimed as being someone cocky. You assume because, or we assume, when someone shares their experience that they don't want to hear others. I want to hear your experience. I need to hear your experience. Your experience strengthens mine or helps me, you know, take the direction I need to do, whether we're talking about sponsorship, whether we're talking about being a member of the group, whether we're talking about the General Service Conference. I think we often forget, and I know I said this last week, and I'm a poet, so I hold pride to this phrase, but we are a small part of a huge piece necessary for a great whole, which means each and every one of you in these squares, if you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, has to take the reins. I got you, Brooke. One second. Has to take the reins. I'm sure I can outdo most of you in trivia, AA trivia. I bet you I could. I bet you I could. But I still need you way more than you need me. I need to know what your experience is. I need to know how you're dealing with making amends when you're angry. I need to understand what you're doing with your 10-step to stay connected with God on a regular basis. I need to know how your group's dealing with professionals when they visit. How are you reaching out to the Haitian community when we don't even really have that much literature? I need to know all of that stuff to help strengthen the message I'm bringing to my group, help you, you know, we share experience, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very important that we each take a role, that we each... So the older people in AA, my experience with respect to the informed group conscience or the older group, has to make that possible. We have to roll the red carpet out and allow our members to share. Sometimes we're afraid people are going to say things that are going to not be quote unquote good for AA. I'm not really too concerned with what anyone shares in the sense of that it's going to destroy AA. That's what's going to help AA go stronger. I know instinctually it doesn't feel that way. Because I know every one of us has one of those members of the group that kind of goes on and on about something that has nothing to do with AA. That in itself is a message. That in itself allows the group to see why it's so important that we stay focused, that we have conversations that revolve around principles. What do you got, Brooke?
All right, bear with me because it's a little bit of a long one. Okay, says, my group had a motion to change our meeting scripts to reflect the new, quote unquote, new preamble. The motion failed with 12 in favor and 9 opposed. So we still read, quote unquote, men and women. I suppose this is more of a resentment than a question, but I see plenty of protection from the tyranny of the majority, but very little protection from tyranny of the minority, not exclusive to AA. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. We had that. I had that. I experienced that in my own area. There was two or three really, really interesting individuals that just wanted to create, in my opinion, chaos and drama. And they would use every piece of AA to try to get their voices in there. I don't really concern myself with that. With respects to the preamble, that's a perfect example of the informed group conscience. Here we go. Check this out. First of all, and I don't know exactly where anyone is particular on this topic, but we all know, excuse me, we all know that there was some division around the preamble, and, you know, some people didn't like it, some people liked it, yada, yada. So first and foremost, the preamble is a copyright of the A Grapevine. That's their preamble. They own it. They own the copyright. They publish it, and they can do what they want with it. You can find on AA.org the history of the AA preamble, which I won't get into now. But what the Grapevine did was they started a conversation for years revolving around the topic of the preamble. And do they want to change it? Do they want to keep it? What do people think? And after 3 years of that discussion, It went to the conference floor, and at the conference floor, there was hours. I was at that General Service Conference. I won't tell you which way I voted, but I voted on the topic of the preamble. I watched the decision. I was in the board meetings after the decision. So I'm very informed about the process, how the process actually happened, what actually took place in the process, which is actually irrelevant to the point of it definitely went through the structure and people had an opportunity to share or not share, like or not like. But again, the grapevine never had to change it, could have changed it whenever they wanted. Long before the preamble was changed, when people would contact the grapevine, they would give people permission to, if you want to modify it, you can, just don't reprint it and publish it. Very fair, very reasonable. After the decision, the General Service Conference was made, same thing. You want to modify it, just don't, you know, reprint it and publish it. But here's something on AA experience, which has to do with the informed group conscience. For years, long before the preamble even existed with the grapevine, groups had their own preamble. We forget what the definition of a preamble is because we're so used to AA preamble. But the definition of a preamble is just a prelude to the meeting. So let me just scroll here and see a group. All right, so I see a Steps to Sobriety group. So the Steps to Sobriety can create their own preamble. Welcome to the Monday night Steps to Sobriety group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Here is the Steps to Sobriety preamble. And you could create your own preamble. I think that's important because, yes, of course it matters that there was an informed group conscience and over two-thirds of a vote to make a decision and things go through and up and down the triangle. Don't get me wrong, all that matters. But also A's experience in history shows that you don't have to hold resentment and you don't have to hold grudges. I don't know how to try to say what I'm saying, except for when there's more information, it's just a little more lighthearted. There's not this idea of somebody is rewriting our big book or somebody is taking over our fellowship. Because nobody has taken away your right to create your own preamble. Nobody told you you had to read the preamble before the meeting. And I'm not saying that because the preamble is good or bad. I'm just bringing information to help create discussions at the group. I remember, and this started in Eastern PA, I think, earlier in my sobriety, like there was a big wave of getting tired of the Our Father being said at the end of the meetings. It sounded like it was very religious. And there was some Muslims and Jewish folks that were kind of speaking to it. Not that they were anti anything, but they were saying, hey, it's unfair that we're kind of in the middle of this group. And it's a very, you know, Christian prayer, and we're not Christian. Why are we saying this prayer? It doesn't matter if that is right or wrong. It doesn't matter if you are a strong Christian or not. That's a great discussion to have because we get to hear why people aren't coming here anymore. We get to hear why people are leaving. We get to hear why people in our community aren't comfortable. If you're in the middle of Oklahoma City and nobody has a problem with it, then there's no need to discuss it, I guess. But if there's a whole bunch of people in Eastern PA or Newark, New Jersey that are unhappy with it, we should have the discussion and find out what's going on and why, and maybe modify and maybe do something as simple as doing the Serenity Prayer because it's neutral. And again, I'm not saying if a group does the Lord's Prayer, whatever, it's wrong. I'm just giving a road to sometimes we get bogged down by this rigidity. When the instincts that say we shouldn't talk about this, those are the best things to actually talk about. That creates the informed group conscience. How many times have you heard a group say, I don't understand why nobody participates. I don't understand why nobody puts money in the basket. I don't understand. I don't understand. Then you're like, hey, we should probably talk about the Lord's Prayer. It seems like a lot of people are upset about that. No, we don't need to talk about that. Well, that's exactly why you have a problem. The very thing you don't want to talk about. In my experience. Another question, Brooke? Or?
Yes, okay. I have a couple more. Okay, so the first one is, okay. What if you are the alt GSR and your group meets once a week at 7:30 p.m. and the business meeting is at 8:30, right after, and they don't stick around since the goal is to get out at 9? How can I begin the discussion to ask for a different day since another group meets before ours? How do I know how to serve my group if they do not want to talk for more than a 15 to 30 minute max business meeting.
So the first thing I would say is I'd be happy to have a long or a longer conversation than the answer to this question forever asked that. You can get my number and we can talk. But just some things that come off my head is, and based on my experiences, just slowly start to spoon feed the importance of the conference process, the importance of the group conscience, the importance of concept one and why we have a GSR, the importance of why it is to participate at the district meeting, whether that's a group pamphlet, whether that's tiny little service pieces from AA. There's 1,000 different avenues you can go. And then just start to share your experience. Again, in AA, we want to go from kindergarten to Messiah. You know what I mean? And not that there ever should be a Messiah in AA, so that's a bad analogy. But I'm just saying we want to leapfrog all the way up to being perfect rather than doing what works best in AA. Share our experience. Hey, guys, right now our business meeting is for 15 minutes. I've gone to 3 district meetings. I'm your new GSR. Wow, the amount of cool stuff that's happening there, all the cool stuff I want to share with you guys, all the different places your money's going and what it does and where your money goes and how it helps carry the message. 15 minutes is not enough time for me to do that. I can't go over all these cool things that we're about to talk about at the conference. So I would like to start the discussion of, our business meeting happening earlier or allowing us to have a little more time. So something of that sort is the way it gets started. But again, it's not about what tradition you quote. It's not about saying Craig said this or Brooke said that. It's you just sharing your experience. Hey, I've gone to the district and I'm on fire. Hey, I just got a service sponsor and I'm learning this. But hey, there's not enough time in these 15 minutes to go over all this with you. And based on what I'm reading and learning, is it's my responsibility to make sure you get this information, because this information helps the alcoholic we haven't met yet. But I can't do that in 15 minutes. So to me, that's way more effective than concept 10 says this. You know what I mean? So like, that's just one example.
Awesome. Okay. My next question is, do you think it's more effective in obtaining a district or area conscience when the delegate answers questions leading the meeting one way or the other, or just sits back and listens and take notes, hearing the body's concerns in favor of or against, etc.?
That's a very interesting question, because my answer would change on whatever kind of meeting that is, because if that's just a regular area assembly, the delegate has no authority to do either, really. If it has to do with the General Service Conference and preparing the delegate for that, I think it's a mixture of both, because the delegate is on a particular committee and they need to get as informed as they can about how those ideas or topics or suggestions. Let's just say, for example, they were going to update a pamphlet and that particular delegate was on a literature committee. They'd want to gather as much information. It is the delegate's job. Sometimes assemblies get offended when the delegate says, we're just going to talk about this. I respect that. It's the delegate's job to decide what to talk about, because they're trying to be informed of what committee they're on. A lot of people get hung up on 850 pages of background information. Let me just share a quick stat with you. Easily over 50% of the stuff that gets in there never even makes it to the conference floor. So you have to be smart in understanding what are we going to talk about, what are we not going to talk about. But if you go into your service manual under the definitions portions, there's 2 definitions for the conference. There's the weekly business meeting, and then there's the conference long, the year-long conference process. So some topics are important to be discussed locally, because it makes us stronger locally. It allows us to have these discussions we're talking about. So I'm sorry to give you a long-winded answer, but it would matter to me what is the purpose of the meeting that this delegate is serving at. And yes, in general, I think a delegate should share, because I think the GSRs and DCMs should hear what the delegate has to say. But of course, I think the delegate should listen. But again, what meeting it is kind of changes everything.
Okay, I do have another one. So it starts off, it says, hi, Craig, I texted you about this last week, but couldn't formulate the question. Maybe they were talking about me. I don't know. It doesn't matter. There is a meeting in my group that is facilitated like a class. Each year, the same people facilitate it. No group conscience vote has ever been taken about this. It's been going on for years. They use AA conference approved literature as well as Hazelton and instructional CDs. I would be okay with them removing the meeting from the group and just being a meeting. How do I approach this with my group? I need some talking points.
Yeah, I think I know the person who asked that question, and they have my number. I think we could probably talk more, but we talked about that last week. Again, these questions are great questions, but there's not enough time to really dissect the direction you want to go. What I mean by that is, in Alcoholics Anonymous, there's a lot of self-justification, self-seeking, self-righteousness, and the deadliest, self-pity, right? And how do we overcome that but to use A's principles, whether the topic is our own personal sobriety or the topic, in my experience, is the AA group and the discrepancy here about a quote-unquote class. Again, it's the same as the GSR just asked. I mean, you start to spoon-feed them information. You start to share things that you're learning. It's very funny, right? Because it's actually the easiest person to have a conversation with is a big book thumper, because they're so rigid about what's written. So rigid about what's written. Like misquoting things and still rigid, you know, misquoting half a sentence. Well, they're the easiest person to talk to because you could say, hey, guess what? There's some things that are written here I'd like you to look at. And guess what? They're not just in the service manual. They're also in the big book. The concepts are in the big book. The traditions are in the big book. Shared experiences with respects to service are in the big book, in the back of the big book. But anyways, I think letting folks know a little bit about why we have rotation. But again, I would need to know a little bit more about that meeting. And I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but is it an actual group or is it just a group of people doing stuff? So there's a lot more to learn and discuss. And I'm not trying to start a crusade here to get everyone in AA to quote unquote do things right. But I think it's important. A lot of us have a fear of rejection. So that's why we might not bring something up. But I think it's important in God's world, in my experience, yes, of course we want the decision to take place. We want the right thing to happen now. But bringing the discussion to light helps bring that informed group conscience and hearing the loving voice of God. It doesn't mean everyone agrees with you today. It doesn't mean by the next business meeting everything's changed. But when you just allow the discussion to take place, you allow those people that you even think are your enemy or don't think like you to share. Now everything comes to fruition. Everything comes out and we start to have conversations and we start to see things we couldn't see anymore. And the more if you truly are an informed member of AA, the more discussion you can have, the better. Because you can keep showing people about the principles. You can keep sharing your experience about how you use steps, how you use traditions, how you use concepts. But also be careful not to seem, and I've done this before, as of though you know everything, just because you know the principles. I love to have conversations. I shared this one of the weeks. There was a whole bunch of people here in the area that hated anonymity. They even created some movies that were anti-anonymity. And as a delegate, I invited them to our assembly to share with us why they thought that. It was perfect. Because they got to hear themselves talk out loud. My sponsor used to say all the time, the best thing for an alcoholic is to hear themselves talk. Then they realize what they're saying is silly. So you get people to share, to talk. And that includes me, by the way. I hear myself talk out loud. I'm silly too. But I mean, I'm half kidding there. But we have the opportunity to, how do you really feel? Why do you think it's important we have a class? Why do you think we only have a 15-minute business meeting? And sometimes people will be like, well, because that's the way we've always done it. That's just what we're supposed to do. And then you get to say, well, guess what, man? Your bread is stale. It's time to get something new. And then you do something else. Or you hear that, much like you said, well, there's a group that meets here and we have to get out of here. Okay, well, this is a simple scheduling change. Let's just have the business meeting before the meeting instead of trying to force it in after. So when we all have a chance to share, then we get to bring those solutions. Is there any more questions? Because I know there's only, okay, good, because there's only 2 minutes here. I just want to, a question I always ask all my sponsees as we're going through AA Comes of Age, and you probably got asked this question when you were going through the big book. with respects to your steps in the second step. But the question I ask with respect to the second tradition is, do I believe in the group conscience, or am I willing to believe? Do I believe in the group conscience, or am I willing to believe? And if I believe in the group conscience, then I should participate in the group conscience. I should listen. I should share. I should learn about it. I should stand for things. I should participate in the bylaws, the guidelines, whatever. And if I'm willing to believe, then I should, you know, do pretty much the same and step forward. A lot of the times we're walking and we don't even know what a group conscience is. One of the biggest fears I have, and I woke up to this to myself. I'll wrap up right here because I know Bob's about to cut me off here. But I remember I was walking around in one of my first service positions, and I'm like a great cheerleader, man. I'm like, you got to go to this, you got to do that. Like, hey, so great, blah, blah, blah. And thank God no one else asked me. I just asked myself, and I was like, yeah, but why? Why does everybody have to go to the district? Why do people have to get a service sponsor? Why do people have to be involved? And I was like, I better get that answer before I go around telling everyone to do stuff. Because if someone asks me, why is this necessary? And I don't have the answer to it, I'm going to lose all credibility. And I'll be honest with you, and I'll end with this. Until I go through each one of those 12 principles, I don't have that answer. I didn't have the answer for anything until I went through the steps. And then I didn't have the answer for service until I went through the traditions and concepts. So thanks for letting me share tonight.
All audio and video files on the District 6 AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.